From the sands of the ancient world comes a story of faith, failure, and divine redemption. Hagar, Ishmael, and the birth of conflict. Our weekly comprehensive Bible study with David Paxton starts now.
Starts right now. Wow, what an amazing week we're having. I think the Lord's coming back. Welcome to another show, another Bible study, ladies and gentlemen, on Last Christian. We're going to have a good time today. We are in Genesis chapter 16, after a couple of years of studying. We're getting there. And you can see it, if you can see this, I think that's Hagar there. And it's, anyway, we're going to find out. Joel, what do you think? You think is Hagar or the other?
Yeah, I'm not sure which is which. I'm gonna say Sarai is probably standing right in front of him, like you have no idea what I just did. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, what'd you do that for?
Right.
You told me to do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's your idea.
Oh, man. Well, like you said, we're going to find out a lot more about it. But, you know, David, I pulled out today, my research was done with this. I don't know if you can see it or not, but that is my Bible. Okay? So I did it directly from the Bible, all of my study from the Bible today. And so I just happened to look, and it was like, okay, wait a minute. Genesis what? We're at Genesis 60, and I'm looking, there's Genesis 50. Okay, we haven't been at this for 2 years. We're up to Genesis 16. Good grief. We talk about a weekly comprehensive Bible study. Yep, we got it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of weeks we talked about other stuff.
But yeah, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. But not many.
Mm-hmm. It's been good all the way through. I think this is my favorite one of the week. I really do.
Yeah, me too. We just get into the word and say, what does that mean?
Amen. You know?
Mm-hmm. And then we get to make fun of stuff too. I always have funny ideas with and get in the Bible. And I'm like, you know, like I think my favorite one is when, they're out there fishing. Jesus has resurrected, but they don't know it yet, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, crap, let's go fishing. They toiled all night long.
Right.
Remember that?
Uh-huh, yes.
And their feet, they're like,
can you imagine throwing that net all night long?
Yeah.
All night.
And all night long. And all the other boats around them are like, there's no fish.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Jesus. And they don't know it's Jesus, but he's on the beach saying, you got to throw the net off the right side of the boat.
It's like, are you nuts?
What's wrong with this guy? You know? And then he's like, all right, I throw it off the right side.
What the heck? Yeah.
And we all know there's been sermons for thousands of years now of why there was 153 fish. But who knows? I don't know. It's got to mean something, but we'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So he's tweaking them. Like, because who thinks of, what are you talking about, the right side of the boat? You know, it's the same water underneath. And then when they get to the shore, he's tweaking them again because he's already got fish.
Yeah, he's already cooking
the grill.
Them. Yeah, he's already
like, you
cooking.
You guys want some breakfast?
That's great.
Where'd you get the fish?
That is a great story. Yeah, that is a great story. It is, yes. And it's a true one, too. Makes it even better.
That's the funniest part. I don't know if that one's funnier. Or the fact that he's like, hey, you know, they're all in the boat and they're going home because it's nighttime, right? They're going to go to the other side of the sea. And he's like, nah, you get in the boat. I'll catch up to you later. How are you going to do that? It's like, there's not another train going by. You know, everybody left because it's nighttime. They don't want to be on the water at night. And he's like casually strolling by them in the middle of the storm, walking on the ocean.
That's great.
Hey, who's that? Hey, it's me. And he gets in the boat, and like immediately they're on the shore on the other side.
Yeah.
We don't really think about these stories unless you read them, and it's a riot. Some of this
you
got
to take it in. Yeah, you really have to. You know, that's one thing that I've learned. Because I believe the first time I read the Bible, my mission was to finish it, right? So, and you know, when I actually was doing a real reading of the Bible, I wanted to read it Genesis through Revelation. and I sped read it. Big mistake. Okay, because yeah, I mean, you pick up stuff, no doubt about that, you know, but you miss stuff, you know. So after that, after I accomplished my mission, okay, I can now say I really read the whole thing, mm-hmm. but I didn't really understand much of it. Now I can go back and begin to really read the Bible, and I, you know, so I don't encourage people to speed read it. Go ahead and just pick it up. Start reading.
If you just want to get an overview and then come back, that's one thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me just read through this real quick to get a, you know, the bird's eye view, mm-hmm. and then come back and dig in. But,
yeah.
I mean, I rarely, if I'm doing a study, it's rarely more than a handful of verses.
Yeah, I agree.
You could spend,
I know that from the notes you sent me. Yeah.
There's always something else.
Yeah, every time, every study. All right, David.
Yep.
Well, let's,
so here we are, and we're going to see some funny stuff in here.
Okay.
That's why I bring up the funniness.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we even do that, we did forget to do one thing.
And oh, you did. Go ahead.
That is, Father, we come to you today, and we ask that you please bless this reading of your book, your word, and allow us, Father, to present it in such a way that it reaches the heart of someone out there that needs to hear this, that they might respond and come to you and accept your free salvation. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. You know, another funny story is like, hey, listen, everybody on the entire planet sucks. I want you to build a boat and take these animals with you, and I'm just going to flood it all out. You think about it, it's like, what?
Right? Yeah, and then think about this, too, is that the man was out there. It's not like he built this thing in a day or two. Okay, this was, how many years did
it
take?
Over 100 years.
Yeah, to build this boat, and can you imagine? I mean, there's no water.
Everyone's laughing at him.
There's no water, and people are coming by going, are you an idiot?
It's like in a driveway in the middle of the desert somewhere. It's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's,
you'll see.
Another great story from the Bible. Pick it up and read it. You will enjoy it. All right, David, let's get to this study because I'm looking forward to it.
So Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Okay. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you know, we're going to find out how old they are and all this stuff. So it's pretty mm-hmm. cool. She bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. So since Hagar was the mother of Ishmael, they're all Egyptians. mm-hmm. So Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai.
Mm-hmm.
So that sets the stage here. You know, because she's way up there in age.
Yeah.
But then I was like, really, back then, that wasn't that old because they all lived like, you know, up to somewhere around 400 at that time. And right. they just started getting into the 200. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Abram was, you know, 175 and had more kids. I think it was more the fact that she was barren, not necessarily her age. Because we'll see that her age, he's going to let it go until that point where she's too old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But right now she's not, because he was 86.
Okay.
So does that mean she was 76? So in today's thing, that's probably not old. She was probably could have under normal conditions being, I don't know. But in any case, she was barren. And it was normal practice back then to say, hey, you know, I don't want to go childless, so I'm just mm-hmm. going to have one of my helpers, my slaves, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a baby, and I'm just going to keep that baby. So that's kind of the way it went.
Well, now, I got a question right off the top. I told mm-hmm. you before we started that I had a question from reading today.
All right. Good thing I finished my coffee.
Yeah. So it is, yeah. Because what you just read, that, you know, Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Okay,
mm-hmm.
but in reading down in verse 3, it says, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, he gave her to her husband. In other words, I guess Sari finally hands her over, right? After a 10-year wait. Is this true? Am I reading that right, that was 10 years? Or
it wasn't 10 years from the time she said that.
Okay.
You got to think of the Hebrew storytelling.
Okay.
Here's the outline of the story. Here's the main crux of the story.
Okay.
Then they back up and start from the beginning.
Okay,
this happened. That's what we see in Genesis chapter 1. God said on day 1, let there be light. Day 2, this about day 3, day 4, blah, 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 blah. And then in chapter 2, he backs up and he starts all over again and fills in a lot of the details. So that's kind of where we're at.
Okay.
All right. So Sarah did this after they were in the land for 10 years.
That's the point. That's the main point is this happened it doesn't really tell us how quickly this happened, if it was immediate or not. I'm thinking it probably was pretty immediate.
You're thinking linear as well. You're thinking with the Greek mentality, this happened, then this happened.
Yeah.
In the Hebrew, it's, hey, this happened, but let me go before that and tell you how we got there.
Okay. All right, I got you.
This is what this is. Sarah tells Abram, hey, go into my handmaid. All right, let me back up and tell you where we started. Like a good movie. Yeah.
They tell in the end,
hey, I blew up the Death Star.
Yeah.
Well, where did that start? Well,
I watch a few series on an unnamed platform, that'll do stuff like that, so.
It starts with his midichlorians were off the scale. Yeah. But anyway.
I got another one, too, whenever you're ready.
Weird people will know what I just meant. But anyway, yeah, so that's what it was. He's like, hey, here's what happened, but let me back up. Let me go, okay, so this happened because they were in the land for 10 years. And there we go. Go ahead.
Right, here's my second question. Again, it's almost immediate. It's in the same verse. Verse 3. Mm-hmm. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Are we saying that Hagar became the second wife of Abram?
It's a different word.
I'm just going by what the King James
reads. We have a different word between wife and... what would you call that? Mistress?
Well,
it's a feminine.
I mean, honestly, David, I'd never read it before. I'd read it before, but it's the first time that it jumped out at me to be his wife. Now, I don't know. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that at you because who knows?
Depends on the context, but in its strictest form, it just means woman.
Okay. All right.
It just means it became his woman.
It's not a big deal, but like I said, every time you read the Bible, you always get something new. Well, that was the new thing that jumped out at me this morning.
Because, it's so many places and depends on where it's used in the context. Okay. But it could, some places it's adulteress, some is every, it just means every, as a what? Or female, and or one together, wife, woman. It really depends on how it's used in the sentence, but the word is isha.
Okay, it's all about context. Okay. I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
It's all about the context. And the King James said, it became his wife. It should have been said, became his, what did Solomon have? All his concubines.
Yeah.
But there is a different word for concubine too, because they had certain rights. Which actually brings us to the here's this one of the biggest fights in the modern church is should women preach, and they use the verse no woman shall teach or have authority over a man. It doesn't say that in the Greek. It says over her man. Mm. It's the same idea here. Her man, which means her husband. So it literally in the Greek is translated, she will not have teach or usurp authority over her husband. Not any man. Okay. And I know that's going to step on a lot of toes.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I firmly believe a man was better suited to lead a congregation, if you would. But I can't use that verse to justify the fact that, a woman shouldn't be a preacher or a pastor.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. I mean, this is an off the wall, 100% off the wall question, but it's one that I have listened to on occasion. Jan Markle. She has taught with Emeritus Forte and other pastors out there. And everything that I've ever heard her talk about is good, but I had that same upbringing, that women shouldn't preach, and I've come to think that maybe there's, I don't know, I don't see a
problem
with it.
It's completely misinterpreted. Jan Markell is actually very good.
I mean, she's like a teacher,
and she's way better than a lot of men that I know.
Absolutely,
way better.
Yeah, 100%.
So, like, that's my point. In general, I think a man is better suited for that. Mm-hmm. But that you simply cannot use that verse to say over any man, because it literally says over her man in the Greek, which means her husband. And it's the same idea here. He can name him to be his wife. Mm-hmm. It's her, his woman was the word. Okay. And it was translated as wife. So.
Okay. Well, I got you off subject. I'm sorry about that.
It's all part of the game.
Jump right back into it here.
So he went into Hagar in verse 4, and she conceived. Mm-hmm. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
Ugh. Okay. Now, who says her mistress was despised?
Yeah. And so Sarai. Yeah.
Sarai was so. In this particular context, the mistress is over.
So in other words, Hagar, she conceived, and then she's like, "Ha ha ha ha! I conceived, Sarah didn't."
Okay. Okay. I got you.
You're just a slimy old woman.
You're an old wrench.
You're a fart. Yeah. Well, how many cats do you have? So she was despised in her eyes.
Okay.
That's kind of what it means. Okay. Nothing wrong with cats. So in verse 5, it said, "And Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between me and thee." So she's like, "Oh, please help us. God help us here. We're going to do this." But now Sarah's like, "She despises me."
Mm-hmm.
So Abram says to Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." She's like, "All right, listen, it's your maid. You do what you want. I don't want to hear it."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
"I'm out. I'm going to watch the game. I'll see you later."
Yeah. It sounds like a classic husband, Okay, look.
Yep.
Do what you want, okay? Don't come jumping and yelling at me, just take care of it.
How many times, I'm talking to all you men out there, how many times has your wife told you to do something and then got mad at you for doing it?
That's
like a regular occurrence. And here we are. It started with Sarai. You guys will blame her. When Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I think there's some people mix all these things, too, because this is when she goes out and the angel finds her by the fountain, but she ain't had the kid yet. She's still pregnant.
Yeah, right.
Whereas, there's another one where she takes the kid, but, he's clearly older at the time and not like a boy like we see in a lot of the pictures, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
So she runs away. Angel's like, "Nah, chill. It's probably going to be fine."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou?" And we all know what that means. "Where'd you come from?"
Mm-hmm.
"And where are you going?"
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. "Where you come from and where are you going?" And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress and submit thyself under her hands. So the angel is telling you that obviously there's a God has a plan here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're still seeing that plan today. Okay, and we're going to get into that in a second, too. We just had the elections a couple days ago here in New York City. That's fun and exciting, and yeah. The reason I'm not going to be in New York City anymore.
Yeah, congratulations, David. You have a communist as your mayor.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's, talk about an oxymoron. It's communist, socialist, Islamist. Well, what are you going to do with all the gay pride parades they have?
Boy.
You know, we can do that, you know? Mm-mm-mm. You know, he wants free buses and free food and free
apartments. Yeah, free housing. All is not free. Free
Who's
and free.
Who's paying for this? I ain't paying for it. Oh, the wealthy people. Yeah, the wealthy people are moving out.
Yeah, they're packing up now. That's right. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, I mean, it's easy. The wealthy people, they all have another house somewhere. They're like, oh, switch my address.
Now, did you know, just, you know, I don't want to get too far off subject here, but did you know that our governor here in Texas said that he's going to place a 100% tariff on any New York citizen that moves to Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, number one, Texas doesn't have tariffs. Okay.
Yeah, he's kidding, but I get the idea. But he doesn't mean me because I'm like normal. He means all the, you got that problem with California coming on.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not the same. The ones that leave here are actually decent people.
it's
the ones that,
like I said, we don't have tariffs in Texas. We never had tariffs in Texas.
Yeah, but now you do.
100% ones. Yeah. 100%
only if you're from New York. Where are you from? Let me see your license.
I just thought that was funny. I throw that in.
Yeah, that's pretty. Okay. That's clever of him. Yeah, I like that. All right, so he's like, go back and submit yourself into his hands because there is a plan. There had to be the plan. There had to be the, and it all goes back to this, the first man and the last man, the first Adam and the last Adam.
All right.
You know, he was the second one to come. It's always the same story. You got Jacob and Esau. You know, Esau was born first, but Jacob got the inheritance.
Right.
You got, here we go. Ishmael was born first, but Isaac got the inheritance. It's the same story. Adam was born first, but Jesus got the inheritance.
Yeah.
Because the first one always messes up.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be. This is part of the story. And that's why the angel comes and says, you got to go back. Sorry, you got to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going back. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. And we can see that today, right?
Yeah,
everywhere
for real.
You go in the world, they're everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it shall not be numbered for multitude. So he's got an innumerable amount on Isaac's side and an innumerable amount on Ishmael's side.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
just amazing.
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, thou art with child. And shall bear a son, you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord had heard thy affliction. And that's what Ishmael means. It means God will hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. So that leads me to this. Okay. Now we're starting to see this all over there's the Muslim world. I think because of this, because of the Ishmael, Lord will hear them. That's why Satan attacked him so much. He tried to wipe out Israel, but he's also trying to take over Ishmael and Esau and those folks because he knows that God said he'll bless them.
Okay.
That's why all those nations over there, like they'd all be different. India would be like a different thing if it wasn't for the Muslims. Africa would be a different, different people group if it wasn't for the Muslims.
Yeah.
They went they just go take everybody over. Mm-hmm. Iran would be a completely different people group if it wasn't for the Muslims. All right? They would be the Persians, and they had phenomenal stuff. They were super smart, still are, but they're being oppressed right now. And they you just look at all the things, you know, of all the kingdoms that they've had for thousands of years, of the splendor and the glory of all the Persian kingdoms, you know, and then the Turkish, and then all up into, you know, the north and stuff. Anything that's been, it's been usurped by Islam, because that's what they want to do. That's the devil. He wants to come and take over everybody. Yeah. All right. That's what he's trying to do with all the European worlds now and the Western worlds. That's why we have all these, you know, these, oh, immigrants. You know, there's 56 Islamic nations. Why do they got to come here?
Well, go to one of those. The next time we have Mark on, Mark Sutherland, the next time we have him on, I want him to talk about the fact that the Muslims there in the United Kingdom, they want the flag of the UK changed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, think about that for a second. I mean, what do they call that thing? I don't remember, but the something Jack or something. But
yeah, the Union Jack.
Union Jack, yeah. That's been there for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. So the Muslims come in here in the last couple of decades, and now they want to change the whole flag, I guess, and put whatever that thing is that they always put on
the moon god.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's the moon god.
It's mind-blowing to me. That's just mind-blowing to me.
Well, that's what they do, and that's what Islam has taken over. But we got to remember, that's the devil working in them, because he said he's going to, you know, Lord has heard him.
Yeah.
So he's going to hear. And I think, even though we have the Muslim religion at the end of the age, I think the vast majority of Ishmael and Esau's kids will receive the Lord.
Yeah, me too.
Because of the blessings of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And they will turn, because they're going to realize the same as the Jews. The Jews are going to be like, oh, crap, that was us that killed Jesus, and he was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to realize the same thing. We had a show on that, and our last one was talking about the Quran and how that basically took over. And then I tell you that most of the Muslims that I know are really good people.
Yeah.
Okay? So I suspect that they're just misled and taught, and they will turn to the Lord once they actually hear the truth and he works on their heart, because he said so. Well, now, he will be wild, because in verse 12 it says he will be a wild man and his hand will be against every man. Mm-hmm. Which, that's what brought us to this situation.
Well, and every man's hand against him. I wanted to say real quick before we run out of time here in the first half, that I took that show that we did and I posted it on an Islamic site.
Ooh. Okay,
with a description of, you know, please view this with an open mind and all that. And I was expecting to get, like, slammed. Okay.
Flaming arrows?
Yeah, and nothing. They were silent. It was unbelievable. It's like I'd never even posted anything. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I think people were actually watching it, listening to it.
They probably heard, and they're not allowed to say anything. They're like, I better not say anything.
Right. Yeah. I just thought that was pretty cool. I wanted to throw that in there. Before
We praise God, because, you know, Ishmael can be saved as well.
Absolutely.
As well as every Muslim. So we just lift them up. Father, we lift up all the Islamic friends, and we ask that they would learn and repent if evil is in their heart, for that they would give that up and accept your contract of peace and righteousness and restoration and payment of their sin debt. And we pray we'll see many of them in heaven, because you said you'll hear them. Mm-hmm. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
If you're tired of being treated like you're too stupid to think for yourself with all the politically motivated and biased reporting from the left and right, then it's time to tune in to the KRRB Revelation Radio News Network, where truth has a voice. Here, the news comes from a truthful Christian perspective, no political agenda or bias. Just simple, honest reporting grounded in fact and biblical truth. Every day, we bring you the East Texas news, followed by news from around the world from a Christian viewpoint in just 30 minutes. This is your chance to stay informed, stay faithful, and receive the news anchored in truth. Join us every weekday at 11:30 a.m. Central in East Texas on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 a.m. or anytime on revelationradio.net. Trait news from KRRB Revelation Radio News Network. your home for unfiltered and censored truth.
So guess what? We're back. Yay. Absolutely. No rapture yet. Still waiting.
Patiently, we'll impatiently. Yeah, I'm impatiently, patiently waiting.
Hey, listen, Paul was waiting for it too. Like, don't tell me that. Okay, so we're talking about Abram and Sarai. Now, if we back up a little bit here and we say, okay, why would Sarai even say this to begin with?
Say what? That to go ahead and do it? Because, well, the way I look at it, tell me if I'm wrong. The way I always interpreted that, David, is that God had promised Abram that he was going to have the descendants that were going to be like the sand of on the seashore and the stars of heaven, and she's barren, and she's getting to the point where she's not going to have kids anymore, so she's going to help God out, and this is how she's going to make that happen.
Yeah, so she, somewhere in there is a good heart, but not trusting the Lord at the same time.
Right.
So let me help him out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like the picture of a little kid. He got his kite all tangled up, and then, you know, he's hanging on to it, trying to undo everything, and then asking God why he's not helping. It's like, well, you got to let go of the kite.
Right.
And then he'll untangle it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we are as human beings. All right. Because it was God's intention from the beginning to have Israel be, you know, a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. This way, every last one of them could say, well, I'm here by divine providence.
And it's been miracle after miracle ever since. It really has. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right up until
And the miracle day. Today is that there's all that still together there. In one person.
Yeah.
It's like, but someday they'll repent and love the Lord. So we'll just go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to see here in a minute. Well, let's just keep reading.
Okay.
The angel of the Lord. Some people think that is a pre-incarnation of Christ.
I was going to ask about that. Not if that a pre-incarnation of Christ didn't ever cross my mind, but, I mean, if an angel of the Lord appeared to me, I'm going to probably have a heart attack right there and just fall out, you know?
That's why they always say, fear not. As soon as they show up, they're like, fear not, it's just me. We're good. Relax. Yeah.
I can only imagine that had to have been just an incredible experience, but I can see why Hagar would pay attention if she realized, this is really an angel. This is really an angel, and chances are he's not going to be telling me something that's not right, so I'll pay attention to what he's got to say.
Like, all right. Don't melt me.
Right.
Now, there is that term, the angel of the Lord, Malak. Malak is messenger of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So when you combine those two, you know, Malak Yehovah, it does imply that it's the spirit of the Lord that comes. So some people say, well, that is, you know, a pre-incarnate Christ. I think any incarnation, because, you know, they're all one. God the Father, the Son, the Holy, they're all one,
even though
they're all separate. And it's you're not going to be able to understand it, so don't try.
Right.
And so all along the way, we're going to see this type of thing, that the angel of the Lord is actually a pre-incarnation of Christ, which it very well could be.
Okay.
The point is, if he's coming from the Lord directly, whether it's Christ or whether it's Michael, it doesn't matter. You better listen to the message.
Absolutely.
Because he's directly from the throne.
Yeah. Like I said, if you know for sure it's an angel, then, you're going to listen to him. You know?
Yeah. Because it'd be dumb not to.
Yeah.
You know, that was like Zechariah.
She would have to have believed, because he's telling her, go back to somebody that basically hates you and probably wants you dead. Go back and submit yourself. Yeah, that's a big ask, David. That's a really big ask, don't you think?
Yeah, especially for all of that. you know, submit. And it's not like, hey, go back and just make up. No, submit. In other words, you be the lower one.
Yeah.
All right. So the angel comes and he says, behold, you're with child. You call him the name Ishmael because the Lord has heard your affliction, and he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And that's kind of where we're at. You look all over the Middle East. That's all you see.
Okay.
And she called the name of the Lord that spoke to her. Now, this is where they sit. Check this out. Thou God seest me. For she said, have I also looked here after him that seeth me? All right. Let me read that in another language.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's hard to understand for me.
Okay. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke with her, you are God who sees me. Okay. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him?
Mm.
So she said, this is God.
Yeah.
So that would confirm the people that say, hey, this is a pre-incarnation of
Christ. At least she thinks. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I don't think either one of us are saying for sure this is it, but...
No, I would lean in that direction.
Yeah.
I'm probably 90% there, but...
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well,
you know, the only caveat would be if it's just her belief.
Yeah.
But then why would he have written it like this?
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so verse 14, therefore the well was called Be'er Lahai Roy. That's what we all call it, right? Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered.
Okay.
So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him.
Okay, let's back up for a minute. I want to back up just for a second.
All right.
Now, you said, I really, you know, when it comes to reading these names, I'm always hesitant because you always laugh at me every time I do it, okay? Elroy, E-L hyphen R-O-I, Elroy. How do you really say it?
What, where are you at?
I'm in Hagar's response. It is E on your notes at the very bottom of the page.
Okay.
It calls for God who sees me. And I think you read the actual scripture there, but, you know, first woman in scripture to receive a promise from God, first to give God a name, profound personal encounter. Yeah, it was a profound personal encounter. All right. Anyway, I just wanted to point out that Elroy thing there.
Elroy. And that's where we get the, you know, the country name Elroy. Right?
Okay, I don't know. I'm not falling for anything right
now. Elroy? No, let's do it. That's where El comes from. Okay. Hey, you know Yahoo comes from that too.
Yahoo, that cool? Yeah, Google and all that stuff.
That's Yahoo. Okay. And it's Yahovah, Yah this, Yeremiyahu. So when you see Yeremiyahu, that's Jeremiah. What's Yahoo? And that's actually where the word came from, Yahoo.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
All right. I'm not going to argue with you because I don't know.
Yeah, the word, but yeah, the more Be'er Lahai Roy.
Hmm.
Okay. Because I've seen him alive. Yeah, it's hard to get all that, but that's what it means. We'll just call him Elroy.
Okay. So now we can move on to Ishmael is born on the next page there. Abram at 86 years old. Go ahead.
Yep. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he leaves it off there. And the next sentence is, now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me. How many years is that?
And that's another 10 years, right?
It's 13 years later, 86 to 99.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until a year later, because, Ishmael was born, and then Isaac was born a year after this. He was born when he was 100.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Because he said, hey, I'm coming over here. Obviously, there was a year later.
Mm-hmm. 13 so that years means, of silence. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's not silence, but how old was Ishmael?
Mm.
He was 14. when Isaac was born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. That means a lot. When you see some of these Bible stories and you see them, and then, you know, Hagar's out in the wilderness, and then she's got her son and he's a little boy, and you're thinking, oh, wait, let's go back to the story. They grew up a little bit, you know? So it's not like, hey, he was born in that day. He was 14 when he was born, so he was pushing 20 years old when they went out there. Mm-hmm. And probably way bigger than she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what's the story there with all this? It's a little bit deeper, but you really got to get a perspective.
Well, you know, we were talking about that before, how whenever you read the Bible, it sounds like all of this happened within like a month. I mean, you know, it's just right. real quick type stuff. And that's not the case. I mean, this is over decades that all this stuff took place.
And exactly. And then we think, oh, Abram, he just had a life. Every day he got up and God's talking to him.
Right.
Yeah. And this wasn't even the vet. This was the angel of the Lord talking to her. Mm-hmm. Abram wasn't even in the picture. You got to go back a couple of years to Melchizedek.
You got to wonder, these people that do hear from the Lord. I mean, I'm not really sure how they heard it. You'll have to explain that.
I got a few of them in my circle.
But
every day they wake up and Jesus is on the toast and having coffee with them and everything else.
But, you know, but these people that really did have this communication, you got to wonder how they felt when years went by. It was like, okay, did I screw something up here?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it coming back?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there had to have been a lot of that, David. There had to be. They're human beings,
100%.
Right?
And Moses was 40 years in the desert.
Yeah.
And then he seems like, oh, I finally got out of this. I'm 80. You know? And then God comes, Moses! what? Guess what?
You're not going
You're
in.
You're
going
to start your life now. Oh, my God. I thought I was going home. And that was after another 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. He shows up. But yeah, these times, he squishes them together because what am I going to talk about? You know,
mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what did he do in those 14 years? Well, he got some sheep. You know, he had breakfast a lot and they went out to the movies. I mean, mm-hmm. what are you going to talk about? It's the important parts, but they kind of squish them together.
Yeah.
Did they have movies back then? I don't
know. Maybe plays, so, but not movies.
I bet you they did have plays with all the people.
Yeah,
because I mean, he had 318, you know, trained soldiers, and that's not including the other ones that they brought along. But let's go back. Let's really look at this too. So the looking at all these years in between, what are they thinking of? You know, that whole time, that 10 years they were there. What were they thinking of? Oh, he said, I'm going to have descendants. And he mm-hmm. believed him. 10 years later, oh, I still believe you. They still believe you. I have no idea how. So you try and bring that stuff on yourself. And that brings us to the same old story. You're trying to be God without God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's trying to elicit the promises of God without God doing it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. And that's why that.
Looking across all this land, right? Mm-hmm. As a human being, I can see him looking out there and then in his mind, in his mind's eye, seeing all these people, mm-hmm. you know, and imagining that situation. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, you asked what they were doing for 10 years. That, you know, that had to have been one of the things they did, right?
Yeah. He's looking out there and it's like, oh, man, none of these are mine. I got all these servants. I got Eliezer.
Uh-huh.
But I got no seed of my own. So he tries to make his own seed, or mm-hmm. Sarah did. And that's kind of a similar story in the beginning. It was Eve who fell for the story that she can be just like God without God. And here we have Sarai doing the same thing. Oh, well, I'll just go into my handmaid.
Right.
And Abram's like, all right, sure. Mm. And I mean, honestly, though, who would turn it down?
well, Well, I mean, you know, like you said,
your wife's idea.
But like you said in the previous show, you know, that was this wasn't something that was out of the ordinary. This was acceptable behavior. Or what, I don't know how to say it, but it was customary to do this stuff, right?
Yeah, because they needed offspring. That was the contract says be fruitful and multiply, and if you can't, then you it was acceptable to have your handmaid have
right.
One. And adopt the kid basically and give them that. But God's like, no, we're gonna have one through Sarai. Even though she's trying to do things on her own, we're still gonna. And so we see a little parallel there, because her name was called Hava or Eve because she was the mother of all living. Well, now we have a spiritual parallel. Sarai is going to be the mother of Isaac, who's the second Adam picture, because Isaac is a picture of Jesus, who is the second Adam. So here we have that miracle birth, and she's the mother of all spiritual men, if you would. It really gets deep. I mean, you can just peel back the layers a million times over. Okay. So God hears he'll be a wild donkey of a man, independent and strong, in conflict with his brothers. A real blessing and descendants will increase, but consequences of the human plan is conflict. So, yeah, they're going to contribute a lot. I mean, I think calculus was invented by one of Ishmael's kids. And so a lot of different things over the years. If you look at the ancient Persian stuff especially, it's just amazing what they came up with, because he said, I'll bless them. And
well, I just see the in conflict with his brothers. And, you know, you've got to look at that as not his physical brothers with him, even though they might have been that too. But you're talking about after the descendants, you know, and the descendants and descendants of and the descendants of. Now you've got brother versus brother.
Yep.
All over the Arab world, right?
Yeah, it's everywhere. And that's what they want to do. And then Satan has gotten in there and said, oh, we'll kill him, make sure everyone converts to Islam. If they don't, we'll kill him. And then if you know, we run out of other people to kill, then we'll kill each other.
Yeah.
It's literally what it says in the Quran. We don't have that record for that 13 years of any speaking from God to Abraham.
Okay.
Again, so it was silent.
Is there anything in any of the other books? Any of the I forget the names now.
Jubilees and Jasher.
Anything. Basically, is there any, just absolutely no record anywhere?
I didn't see any. That's probably a good idea to look.
Okay.
We could look that up while we're still talking.
Okay.
So it goes back to, again, we're trying to do things our own way. So Hagar bore him a son, Ishmael, and Abram was 86. Now we're in chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Okay. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. So he's got a contract. Okay. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant was with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, okay? But thy name shall be called Abraham, for the father of many nations I have made thee. Now, if you read the Bible, you know this is where it happened. But just so it's clear with everybody, he became Abraham. Not when he met Melchizedek, not when he, you know, defeated Sodom, not when he, you know, rescued Lot, not any of that stuff. He did after Ishmael was born. Okay. And it was 13 years after Ishmael was born. Because here he is at 99, Ishmael was when he was 86. So after all that, and he sat with that for a while, then he said, I'll call you Abraham. So if he wasn't Abraham before that, then that's not really the many nations that he was talking about.
Right.
Okay. So you really got to say, okay, what's going on here? As the many nations, the sons of Keturah as well, as Ishmael, or are there many nations within, you know, Isaac and then Jacob? Okay, and then Jacob had the 12 sons of the 12 tribes. Are they tribes? I'll make many tribes out of you. You really got to look that up. You could go either way. But well, the word is goy, like we see goyim. And it's the sense of massing, a foreign nation. We call them Gentiles. But it's also like for a troop of animals or locusts or anything like that. Okay, well, that's what the goy is.
David, I may be jumping a week ahead here because I'm sure we're going to be in, we're going to continue to study next week. But I notice that it says that Abraham pleads for Ishmael. That's in chapter 17, verse 18 there. Fatherly compassion. And God's response to this plead is Ishmael will be blessed. He will become a great nation. 12 princes will descend from him, but the covenant is going to remain with Isaac. So, again, you've got a conversation going on here. At least that's what it looks like. Do you want to expand on that or save it for next week?
Yeah, we can go down there because we're talking about the goyim. There'll be many nations. Mm-hmm. I kind of think he's like, well, it's probably all of them. But he wasn't named until 13 years later, and he said that. But if we're going to chapter 17, verse 20, I have heard thee, behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful. So he is blessed already, because he said, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful as a future, and I will multiply him exceedingly. That's clear. 12 princes shall he beget, and those are the princes are the Nasi. All right, you may have heard, or a sheik.
Okay. Yeah, there for a second I thought you said
heard that in Arabic language. We say princes, but it's a ruler, but they call them Nasi. You might have heard that in some Arab names of places or even people, but it's in their world, it's a sheik, you know? Okay. If we seek the guy with the big helmet, the towel helmet.
Yeah.
This is a sheik of Arabic, right? he shall beget and make him a great nation. So is that 12 different, you know, people groups from him? Mm-hmm. Probably.
12 all right, tribes.
Because you see, just like the 12 tribes of Israel. You got
I was going to say it matches up exactly, you know. Okay.
Because, you know, not for nothing, it's not Ishmael's fault. He was just born.
Right.
So he's like, okay, I hear you, but that's not where the promise is.
Well, okay, this may not, I don't know if it's in here or not. What happened to Ishmael once all this happened? I mean, I know, doesn't he come back at some point and match up with Isaac and kind of make
kind of intermingle. So when Esau was around too, then they say, "Okay, let me go get a bride from my cousin's place, Ishmael." Okay. So they kind of all intermingled, and they tended to stay away from Jacob because he was snooty, and he's like, "Oh, those people, they think they're all that in a bag of chips." So they kind of separated from them, but that's what God said. You're going to be a separate people. So even though they got their own brothers, if you would, it's like, no, you're separate. Because remember, there's the council of Hermon. And so you got the divine council up there. And he's like, this is my portion here. And all these go to here. So Abraham is spread throughout the world. But there's still that portion that belongs to Jesus. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, now I've conquered all the principalities and powers and paraded them around like I would parade around a king that I've defeated.
Right.
In Colossians 2:14-17, read that. So it talks about having making an open show of them. So now Jesus is ruler over all the nations. And that's where we got to look. So now he's ruler over Persia. He's ruler over Egypt. He's ruler over of Russia and India and all those things. And these people just have to catch up, really. And they will at one point.
Yeah.
And that's why we see a great multitude in Revelation 7 from, it says, from every race, language, nation, and tongue. And I mean, like, that literally means like every accent. So we could say, hey, we're both from America, but we have a little different accents. That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, listen, it's going to be them New Yorkers and the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. And then the Boston. Anyone from Boston, they can come too.
They can come too. Yeah.
You can park your car in the dough yard.
Well, down here in Texas, we have uno, dos, tres, four. So,
four. That makes sense. I don't know. I'm like British, German, so there's a lot of conjecture as to where that all came from. And the word British means covenant man in Hebrew. Okay. So they're like, okay, the British are different than the Anglo-Saxons, are different than English, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're like, mm-hmm. I thought they were all the same. It's like, nah, there's actually different people groups up there too. And if you look at that today, it's like, it's maybe about this big, and they got the Scottish and the Irish and the Welsh and all these different accents all in a tiny little island. You know, it's like there's four of you, and you have four different accents.
And so there's going to be a little bit of everybody, and we're all going to understand each other perfectly.
Yeah. He said, every language, nation, and tongue. Yeah, and that's what he's talking about. He says, I'll make you a great nation, and it'll come back. But there'll specifically be 12 of these Nasi that will come from Ishmael. And then the word Arab means mixed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you mix Esau, who is that, you know, firstborn who lost it, Esau, and then the firstborn who lost it, Ishmael, and you put them all together, that's where you get Arab from. Okay. And that's the mixing. Yeah. Now we can all come together in Christ. That's the beautiful thing. Right. He says, by my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which mm-hmm. Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year, in verse 21 of chapter 7. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham, and Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin mm-hmm. in the same day. That must have been a fun day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of them. All right, all of you, line up.
There's a lot of screaming going on in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I wonder if they were passing out whiskey at the same time.
Maybe something to bite on.
All right. So Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Mm-hmm. So that's when everything began. That's the sign of the covenant. Mm-hmm. That's when he called him Abraham. That's when the promise of Isaac had come.
Mm-hmm.
And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So which means a year later, he was 14 mm-hmm. when Isaac was born. Mm-hmm. All right, then we get into the fight. We don't have the time to get into their fight today, because that's going to take a little bit, because they're still fighting today.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Still, we'll dig a little bit more in next week. Mm-hmm. So
that's good, though. That's good.
How about you tell everybody, don't do things your own way, and do it Christ's way.
Yeah, don't do things your own way, because that leads to the bad place. What you want to do instead is go to the Father and say, Father, I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I know he rose after 3 days from the dead. And I know he sits at your right hand waiting to come back for his church. And then you're going to unleash wrath on this earth like it's never been seen before. And I want to avoid all that by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I will follow him to the end of my life here on this earth. And then I will join him and every other Christian, living and dead, glory in heaven. And if you feel, just say a prayer in your own words, I guarantee you that you will be saved, and nobody can take you away from the Lord. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us for this powerful look at Genesis 16, Hagar, Ishmael, and the birth of conflict, and for standing with us as we bring the Word of God to a world that desperately needs truth. Tonight's program encouraged you. Would you prayerfully consider supporting this ministry? Your gifts keep The Last Christian Radio Show on the air, expanding our reach and helping us produce more Bible-anchored content without compromise. Just visit lastchristian.net. Again, that's lastchristian.net. While you're there, you can partner with us monthly, send a one-time gift, or share the link with a friend who needs solid, Christ-centered teaching. We also want to see you back with us tomorrow. Make it a habit. Tune in every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for another edition of The Last Christian Radio Show, where we open the scriptures, confront the culture with courage, and point everything back to Jesus Christ. Set a reminder and join us again tomorrow night. Till then, God bless, and good night.